is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. Welcome to Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast. This is Lisa Horlander. Today, I have my friend, Jessica Valdivieso. She is going to be talking a little bit about her studio practices. We're going to answer one of your questions, and we'll talk about what has knocked our socks off. Hey, Jess. Good to have you on here.
Hi. Hey, Lisa. Great. Thank you for having me.
No. Well, can you give us a little short bio about who you are so they know something about you?
Yes, of course. My name is Jessica Valdivieso. I'm a painter based in Dallas, Texas. I was born in Santa Cruz de la Sierra, Bolivia in 1991. I received a BS in architecture in 2014 and a BA in art studio in 2016 from the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, Arkansas. My work has been shown in Bolivia and in the United States. And I've been living here in Dallas for the past 3 years. Okay. And I was a cohort in the Theaters Union last year.
Woohoo! Together with me and everybody else. It was great.
Yay!
I'm so excited to have you on today. Let's just jump on in. I usually start asking about, like, how do you like to have your studio and some other questions, but you have a show going on right now, and that's kind of like amazing beyond all reason. It's a beautiful show. It's all the work that I've watched you make while you were at, we were all at the Cedars Union. And I actually haven't gotten to see it in person yet. And I'm really excited this weekend. I'm going to finally go up there and see it. Can you tell us about your exhibit right now?
Yes. I'm so happy and excited about Subtle Changes. It's at the Oakley Cultural Center, and it will be open until the 25th of February. The show is about face and line and painting, and I use my work to address the space we inhabit, and I use the paintings to kind of direct you towards these spaces.
Mm-hmm. And they're just immersive. Even though they're a painting, I think that's my favorite part. They're large enough to take the viewer into the painting, and then you've literally set it up so it is taking you into the painting with mirrors and everything. I love it. I love that idea.
Thank you. I'm so glad that, you know, I had the opportunity to do a show with the Oakley, and they have been really great, and we did a little workshop this Saturday.
Awesome.
Which was also really fun, and yeah, it's been altogether a great experience.
That's so exciting. What did you talk about at the workshop?
So in the workshop, I went through my background, my interest in architecture, and my hometown, Santa Cruz, how the architecture there influenced my work, and we went over my work as a student and my evolution from a student to an emerging artist.
That's so nice. That's a really nice opportunity to be able to share with people a lot of what goes into your art, but also why you're making it. Because I think as an artist, we don't always get the opportunity to explain to people where our brain space is currently, and where we came up with some of the inspirations that we're making into something. That's special. I wish I could have gone. That would have been fun. Maybe next time you do it, you'll have to do another one.
Yes, for sure. I plan to do another one, and always making the workshop a little better, because I made like a set of booklets where I had some exercise for the participants, where, you know, there's a set of questions, fundamental questions for every artist, and like, you know, that you should ask yourself about your work and yourself, and then a few sketching exercises.
That's brilliant.
So
I think it was really fun.
Yeah, it was, you know, I think that I think I learned a lot, and I feel like I could do another workshop, and yeah, just gotta, you know, keep making it better.
I love that. Okay, so now that you've got this big body of work up, finished, What are you going to make next? Do you have ideas? Are you going to take a little break? Are you going to continue on the exact same ideas?
I don't think I'm going to take a break. I'm working right now, but I'm working more in the grant processes and residencies applications. So I'm in that period right now. And once I'm done with that, which, you know, it takes a long time.
It does.
I will, like, start working on some more paintings with frames.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love those little ones.
Yeah. So I have all these frames that I already purchased. And they're different sizes. There are some small and some medium sizes. So I want to work with those. Some white paintings, and then go back maybe to some monochrome color paintings. I'm not sure.
I love those ones. I just remember when you first started making those, and so I've always felt like, oh, it's special because I got to see the start of the idea. And that's something that I love about having a studio mates. When you're in a little community, you can actually see people brainstorm ideas and struggle through the different ideas, and then all of a sudden one blooms into a whole body of work. I'm a little partial to those just because I feel like I got to see them be born and come into your whole body of work. Love them. Okay.
I miss going, I think I miss being able to see your work and everyone's work also in the making.
It's been weird. I feel like this past month was a lot longer than a month. So that's like already the disconnect between getting to be around everybody all the time. So I'm excited this weekend. I'm going to be up there, try to catch up on everything I can. That'll be fun. One little question I always like to ask: what do you keep in your glass? Are you a coffee? Are you a tea person?
Totally a coffee person. I'm drinking some right now with some cream.
Did you make a cappuccino?
I did not this time. I just made straight black and some cream because I was hurry. I was in a hurry doing this residency application, and she's actually due tomorrow.
Oh, good luck. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
The never-ending process of trying to rewrite what you wrote. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
So what's one of your top tricks that you would studio tricks that you would recommend to somebody who is just starting out, maybe that you could go back in time, tell yourself, hey, do this. This is a good idea.
I would totally go back in time and tell myself that I should wake up early in the morning and go to the studio early. Because I used to work at night, and I thought I got more work done like that. And I don't think that is true, because I think that when I wake up in the morning, at least for me this is the case, I have a lot of energy and I can get a lot of work done before noon, and then at noon I can just have a break and then come back to work with a break, basically.
I found that to be true for myself. That's actually really good advice. Is I used to be a night owl, and when I switched to especially teaching, and I have to be up early, and then I naturally wake up early, I found that I actually do better work in the morning because I have a clear mind. So that's interesting.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, it's amazing how, like, growing up kind of changes things a little bit.
Oh my God, yeah. I would go and also, like, stay up until 3 a.m. painting. And, it's fun. I think it has some, like, edge to painting at night. Mm,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
But also, you are super tired all day, and usually wake up like at noon if you paint until 3 a.m. or late, and you just wasted most of the morning there.
I agree. It's amazing to me that the how much can get. Oops, let's pause. Hold on, sorry.
Yeah.
At least it's not a train this time.
What's cool is that you can pause and edit anything.
Yeah, it's a lifesaver.
Yeah, in the Oakland Cultural Center, we didn't stop any time.
I was so nervous. It's really nerve-wracking. Ben has most of the recordings they do are timed, and they have, like, the intro naturally goes in and stuff like that. And so they just don't give them the option of having a break. But since mine's not a regular show, since they are spoiling me.
But That's so nice. I love the name of the podcast.
Thanks. Thanks. It was
so funny.
The hardest part, and then it just kind of jumped into my head one day, and I was like, well, that was easy. That's perfect. And then it was
a perfect name in your intro, too.
Oh, thanks. I've been doing voice stuff for a while for them, so I've gotten used to it, but... Okay, let's...
Yeah, you sound like a pro. Like, you've probably had experience doing radio or something.
Yeah, I've been doing... I worked for this company since 2013, and I don't technically work for them anymore. I just do their social media here and there because Ben loves to do social media. Sarcasm. So I've got some experience, but I haven't had my own podcast like this. I shared a podcast with a girl, and then I've been on people's podcasts. Oh, he's back. Okay.
Oh, great.
Ready, steady, and... I have no idea what we were talking about, so we're just going to jump into my next question.
Yes, let's do that. I don't remember either.
I don't know. Okay. So another question I like to ask, what is your favorite item or thing in your studio? So like, for example, you remember how I always had like a little shrine of little items on one of my shelves? So that's my favorite thing.
Yes.
Do you have an item or a thing that is your favorite?
I do, actually. I didn't have it in the studio at the Cedars Union, but I have it on my studio now. It's a kitten. The ones that are, like, Japanese, I think, or Chinese. You know, the ones that are, like, lucky kittens?
Yeah, with a little paw.
With a paw, exactly. I have one of those.
Aw, I love those. I don't have one of those. It's a bobblehead cat from an anime that I've always had in my studio that Ben gave me. I don't know why I haven't thought about that before, but it's usually in my studio. That's fun. Cats are good. We gotta have cats around.
Oh yeah, cats are the best.
Oh, unless they're in your paint. Never mind.
That's God, that's the worst. Hair cat on your paint, that makes me so angry.
Oh my gosh. About to say, when you paint at home, have you had your cats get in the paint before?
I have not, thank goodness, because I think they know, they understand me. I'm like, don't touch the painting.
Stay away. This is forbidden. Yeah. I for sure have had my cats walk through the paint, and there is permanent paw marks on my piano. Like, fortunately, the keys were covered, but it's, So that's, I mean,
that's not good.
I didn't realize it was on that one. I like cleaned up everything else because she had jumped in the paint and then she ran off. And that was the one area that I had not looked. And oh, well, it's there. I haven't taken it off. It's not my own fault for not fixing the piano, but anyways. Okay. So, cats in the studio must have cats. What's an item you recommend for somebody who is just starting out? Like, what's a practical item?
An item that I would recommend. I think I would recommend everyone to learn Illustrator.
Ooh.
For their work. I think, or Illustrator and Photoshop, or like start with one of those and just learn the other. Then I think that learning all of those is super useful for artists. To like put together portfolios and projects.
Yeah.
I use Photoshop and Illustrator and InDesign. InDesign is really good for making portfolios because you can build up books and just like the format of a book, you know. And you can also make little catalogs on InDesign.
You have the best little tiny catalogs.
It's really useful.
That's where you've been making your tiny catalogs then. I love those. They're so precious.
Yes, that's where I've been doing those. So it's not that hard to to learn. Once you learn one of the Adobe programs, the other ones are kind of similar.
That makes sense. I usually use Procreate, but they don't. It's not conducive for a book. So that's, I'm going to look into that. I'm like, you gave me an idea. I've always been impressed with the... Okay, so what I'm talking about is at an art show, she'll usually have a handmade catalog with her. She'll have a few of them for people to look through so they can see the body of work. And I've... That's just brilliant. And then your artist statement's there, and then all your contact. It's like...
Oh, wow.
Just, I that's love that brilliant. You make those. I love them. Okay, so I have a question from the listeners for you, and it is, how do you create an atmosphere that's conducive for creating art?
So that's a great question. I think that we need to make it comfortable, have a few different areas. Like, I have an area for it where I paint, maybe I have another area where I can sit down and write. Maybe you can have like a beanbag. I don't have one right now. I want to have like either a beanbag or some sort of couch where you can have like, you know, a reading time and rest. Maybe having some plants.
Plants, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely coffee and tea and food. You need that to stay in the studio.
You've got to have, no, especially if you're going to be there hours and hours at a time. Snacks are a good idea.
Yes. Yes. Otherwise, you're going to be like, oh, I should go grab a snack. And then it's going to break your flow.
Yeah. It's hard to get back into that mindset once you've left and been in a different spot. I totally agree with everything you just said. It's like creating your space to be a place that instantaneously transports you into the correct mindset. It's like a living room. If you go in there and you try to get work done, that couch calls you in and there's no work that's going to get done. So, you know, create a space that is easy to do all the things you need. Like if it's messy, like mine right now is a total mess because it's my front room and it's terrible. And I don't really make much art there. But when I go, when I'm teaching, like after I'm done teaching, I have an easel set up and I've painted more the past 2 weeks at school after in between classes than I have at home because it's set up and ready to go.
That's
and it's
really
clean.
Great.
Yeah, it's been, I didn't expect that to happen, but it's been really nice.
Yeah, sometimes like setting up a work area in an odd space, you know, can help. Like it's for use, maybe that break that just brings it all together.
I think it's also not having a studio at home changes the way you think about the work. Like it becomes work. You went to the location and it's work instead of
that
being
is so
at
true.
Home. Yeah. It's like at home I'm relaxed and then I'm like, oh, I'll get to it eventually. But I think that's something I learned from having a studio at the Cedars Union was it's a different place. It's a place to work. It's a place for thinking of ideas.
Yes, absolutely. I think that having a studio will like set some boundaries in your head and you know, it helps to have a new space to forget about the dishes, the dirty dishes, the laundry and all of that, you know, that all it's always calling you at home.
The laundry always seems more appetizing to jump in and get done when I have a deadline. Okay, so last thing I usually bring around is some art news. What have you seen recently that knocks your socks off?
This Saturday, I went to a few openings, and I love the Respite show at Pencil and Paper Gallery.
Yeah, they have the best shows.
Curated
there.
By Nicholas. I can't remember his last name, but I met him, and he was really nice, and the show was fabulous. All the work.
I'll find out the details and put it on the show notes so that way people can check it out. And that sounds, I want to go see that this weekend too. It's like my list has gotten a little bit longer than I probably can feasibly do, but I want to put that on there. That sounds wonderful. Because it was a brand new, I mean, obviously it just opened, but the opening was last Saturday.
Yes, last Saturday.
Okay,
actually.
So it was a brand new show. Because they had some nice shows there early in the month. Cool. I recently, so I've been following this group for a long time. I actually have, it's called this Sketchbook Project. It's in Brooklyn. You can create a sketchbook and you finish it up, you send it to them, and they have a traveling sketchbook show library, and then it stays in their permanent collection. And so I have a couple sketchbooks with them, and I usually do that with my students as something I offer the ones that are that seem like they'd actually return to me a sketchbook. So that's pretty, it's a pretty cool thing. You can go online and look through their collection of sketchbooks. But what has knocked my socks off is they are going to be turning it into something that travels to some museums and stuff. Like they're expanding it because their collection is ginormous.
Wow, that is a really fun project.
When I was like, that's a brilliant idea, is putting it into or giving people the opportunity in different places to get to see it, not just online. So I'm excited to see what they do with that. They've got some awesome, really some they also have some cool online programs and stuff like that that I've always liked. So I just wanted to share the love of y'all should go check it out kind of a thing. I love what they come up with. But Jess, this has been great to have you on this show, and I really I'm gonna have to have you back.
Yes, it was so much fun to be here, and definitely, we'll hang. I might see you this weekend around
Yeah.
in the show.
I'll have to catch up with you. Oh, for sure.
Yes.
See you
Well,
around.
have a great day. See
You
you around.
too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TogiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode, it supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast. Yes, one word. To see pictures of what I've talked about and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast.